search for the Superhuman Channel.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today during the Physical Culture Radio episode, which will start in just a bit. Injury and overtraining, the danger zone, how to identify it and stay out of it. And then we're going to be joined at the top of the second hour by Dr. Mauro DiPasquale as we look again at insulin, what we thought we knew and what we've learned. And this will be insulin from an overall health as well as bodybuilding and performance standpoint. But you can't talk about any of this stuff, overtraining or bodybuilding in general, unless you have the right intensity when you go into the gym. And I have a guest joining me right now named Ace Glenn. How you doing, Ace?
I'm doing well. How are you, Carl?
Good, good. The reason I'm having you on is because we have had a sponsor on this show for some time now called Exact, X-A-C-T. And they have a product that is a nootropic, but also a powerful pre-workout type supplement that will give you more focus and intensity. And a lot of people have tried it, but nobody's talking about it yet. And I was wondering why. So I figured I would reach out and try to find some people who've experimented with it. And you have. You've been using it for about 3 months now, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So tell your story, first of all. Are you a hard training athlete?
I do go to the gym, but I split my time between, you know, my training and also my professional career, where I'm a creative director.
So being focused, being creative, being able to tap into the resources of your creative side are very, very critical for you.
Absolutely. It's everything to me.
Now, have you tried other products before Exact?
I have tried just about every product in this category on the market. All the nootropics, I've tried them all.
What about just plain caffeine? Do you ever try to use just high doses of caffeine? Do you get the same results as some of these other products?
I've ordered, you know, caffeine anhydrous powder before and tried to put it in my coffee, but there's something about the jitters that it gives you. It's just like this uncomfortable feeling. It's not a productive thing, I think, for most people. Definitely not for me. I can't stand the jitters that it gives me.
So 3 months ago, you stumbled upon Exact. Did you take advantage of the free sample trial?
I did. On their website, they allow you to get a free sample so that you can try it before you buy it, which I really appreciate, you know, as an experimenter of these types of products. So, yeah, right there on the website.
If you go to superhumanradio.com, there's a banner ad, a skyscraper banner ad on the left-hand side that you can click to get there. If you happen to want to go directly to the website is exactmind, exactmind.com. And if you scroll down to the middle bottom of the page where you can order, you'll see emblazoned in orange, Rush My Trial. It's a 5-day trial, and it includes free shipping. A lot of people charge you for the trial, and you find out that the quote-unquote handling fee is actually liquidating the cost of the supplement. So they're not really giving you anything. So just for the record. So check that out. Talk about your experience with Exact.
Well, I guess for me, there's two categories of these types of products that I've encountered so far. I've ordered nootropic supplements, you know, mental energy and focus products that either don't do anything at all, you literally don't feel a thing, or they are so over the top, packed with caffeine that you get the jitters and you can't really do much of anything at all. And Exact kind of hit the sweet spot for me right in the middle of those two. It's very, like a smooth, kind of focus where you're just in the zone, as opposed to, you know, either being too jittery or not feeling really anything at all.
Yeah, and see, Exact doesn't use a lot of caffeine. I mean, if I remember correctly, when I was talking to Vince Andrich about its development, I think it only uses like 80 milligrams of caffeine or something like that. So, I mean, that's less than you get in a small coffee these days. It's probably less than half. Less than half that you get in a small coffee these days.
Much less, yeah. And I was a big coffee drinker, too. I mean, for a long time, whenever I felt like I needed a boost or something, I would drink coffee even before a workout. But after a while, the effects of coffee kind of start to fade, and you can't drink, you know, 15 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I started looking for these kind of products, is because, you know, coffee just doesn't really do it for me anymore.
So when you first started using Exact, you noticed this gentle onrush of focus. What about training? Obviously, that's great in work. What about your training? Did it affect your training at all?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when it comes to going into the gym and having that ability to focus and not wasting any time in between sets, I mean, that's invaluable right there. And it's something that, you know, pre-workouts can definitely give you the energy and pump out a few more reps each set. But when it comes to mental energy and then focus and actual drive, I mean, Exact is kind of that's the top of the line for me.
Well, and we've talked about this on the show numerous times. It's fatigue starts in the brain.
You
know, if you can overcome that portion of what ends up becoming fatigue, you can train a lot longer. You can train a lot harder. What are the downsides? Are there any downsides to Exact?
Well, one of the things that I've encountered with other products is a really bad crash. After probably about 2.5-3 hours of some of the other, types of nootropic supplements that I've used, there's a pretty harsh come down from those. With Exact, it's really mitigated. I don't really get that severe a severe crash from it.
I would predict that that's probably a result of not depending on high loads of caffeine to create its stimulatory effects, if I had a bet.
I think you're right, because the other products that I felt a really bad crash from, they were all jam-packed with caffeine, so that's got to have a lot to do with it.
Do you take Exact every single day, or do you use it sparingly so you don't develop any kind of tolerance?
Yeah, I probably use it 3 to 4 times a week when I really need it.
And do you take the normal stated 2-capsule dose, or have you started using more or less?
No, the 2-capsule dose, that does it for me. Even sometimes I'll take one, and then about 20 to 30 minutes later I'll take the other, just to sort of, smooth out my transition to get into the zone.
I've actually done that. I've actually taken just 1 capsule and felt it. So what about when you take these, when you take the dose of whatever it is, 1 or 2, how long does it take you to notice that it starts to kick in?
Probably after about 30 minutes, you start to feel like, oh, okay, something's happening here. And then 45 minutes to an hour comes, and you really feel like you're, okay, now I know what's happening. I'm in the zone now.
So, and you are someone who you would consider an advanced user of these types of alternative energy products, whether they be caffeine-based or nootropic-based. And compared to everything you've tried in the past, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best and 1 being worst, where do you put Exact on that scale of comparison to other products you've tried?
In comparison to other products, Exact it's definitely a 10. It's in another league from all the other stuff that I've tried. I've never really come across anything quite like it.
Okay. Again, there's no harm in finding out if you will like Exact. If you go to superhumanradio.com and click the Exact banner ad, or if you're impatient, go right to xactmind.com. Right down in the middle of the page, you'll see a 5-day trial package. Absolutely free, and you don't pay shipping. It's absolutely free. It's a 10-capsule pack, and if you take the prescribed 2 each day that you want to feel its effects, it'll last you 5 days. That's plenty of time to make a true evaluation of the quality of this product. And there's some big players behind this product. This is not coming from a group of guys who got together and said, let's just do this and dot the landscape with similar products. This is a new approach to nootropic pre-workout supplements. Obviously, Vince Andrich is involved. Vince's pedigree in the supplement industry is unparalleled. Again, check it out. Try it. I want to hear from other people now. I expect to hear from other people in the audience going, okay, I'll come on the air and talk about Exact. That's the goal of this. Ace, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about it today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Carl. I appreciate it.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Brooks Kubik for this episode of Physical Culture Radio. Stay tuned.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Kubik's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookskubik.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Kubik's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Kubik's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookskubik.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
You're listening to Physical Culture Radio, home of dinosaur training. Now, here's the keeper of the flame of physical culture, Brooks Kubik.
I figured we roll right into that, not to waste a second of valuable discussion time with my co-host Brooks Kubik today, because we have a really, really important topic to cover. How you doing, Brooks?
Carl, I'm great. How are you today?
Really good. So, this is kind of an extension from some of the things we talked about last time, but also something maybe even with greater gravity. We always talk about overtraining. Overtraining generally leads to injury, where injury can happen on its own. But overtraining and injury seem to go hand in hand, because overtraining is kind of like slow injury, erosion, and frank injury is like you've torn something, you've pulled something. And these things are best to be avoided if you want to make progress in the gym. With that being said, Brooks stumbled upon an amazing study, and I think we can make some very valuable assumptions based on this study. So talk about the study that you discovered.
Okay. Well, this actually comes from an article in Runner's World magazine. And I just spotted this. It's titled, "Does Overuse, in quotes, Really Cause Injuries?" It's written by Alex Hutchinson. And I thought, oh, come on. Of course overuse really causes injuries. You jerk.
I mean, think about it. Well, let's qualify that. So if you're doing the same things repetitively over and over again for longer periods of time, then you should be at a higher risk than someone who's doing those same things at shorter periods of time, right?
Well, yeah. And in the context, you know, I was thinking this is going to be an article that debunks the idea that too much running or jogging, logging too many miles can lead to injuries. And they're going to have some scientific study that says it's perfectly fine to run 20 miles a day, 7 days a week, and it will not in any way, shape, or form hurt you, blah, blah, blah. So I jumped to the article and I started reading, and it wasn't that at all. What it was, there were two studies. One was a letter published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. And that was a study of running. And what they found was that they could not find an association between high volume, in other words, doing lots of mileage, and injury. But what they did find was an association between the acute and chronic load ratio. The acute load ratio is the volume, the mileage, this particular week. The chronic ratio is the volume over the last 4 weeks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been averaging 20 miles a week, that for the last month, okay, you compare that to the current week. And if you jump up from 20 miles to 25 miles or 30 miles or 40 miles, that's the place where injuries can happen.
So it's not from the intrinsic volume, but it's from the change in volume over the course of this particular period of time. And we're talking about a month right now.
Yes, and so what they're basically saying is the danger point, or what I refer to as the danger zone, is when you shift from one level of volume or intensity to a significantly higher level of volume and intensity. And there's another paper that is referred to in this article that really follows the same sort of analysis with not runners, but rugby players.
Yeah, and rugby players are much more physical than runners, obviously. They're doing their fair share of let's say, cardiovascular, but they're also manhandling each other, so there's heavy lifting and pushing and shoving and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a different sport, and it's a little difficult, I think, to study injuries in rugby players or anyone else in a contact sport, because some of the injuries are unavoidable. They're just the result of human beings smashing into each other. But this study was of an elite rugby league team in Australia. It was over a period of 2 years, and they were looking at all kinds of different variables that might correlate with injury. And they thought going into it that what they would find is that when the players were doing more running, logging more mileage, that gradually that would break their bodies down, it would wear them down, it would result in what they were thinking of as overuse injuries, and that they would find that kind of association, and then the recommendation might be, you know, keep the players within, you know, a certain number of miles per practice, you know, a certain number of minutes per game, that sort of thing. And what they found, again, was the same thing, that the players who were very, very active, did a lot of running, got a lot of game time, had no more significant injury potential or injuries than those who were not as active, who didn't get as much playing time and perhaps, you know, were on the bench more even during practices. But what they did find, again, it was that acute-chronic load ratio. And what they found was that players who increased their training load by 60% compared to their weekly average over the previous 4 weeks were much more likely to be injured.
Mm-hmm.
And the much more likely was a factor of 3.4 to 5.8 times.
Wow, that's significant.
That's really significant.
Yeah, 300 to 500% greater increase in risk of injury.
Yes, and that's with a 60% increase in the weekly load.
Right.
But they also found a significant risk of injury with an increase of only 20%.
Was this dose dependent? In other words, was it less than the 300 to 500%?
It was less, but I'm not sure how much less. I'd have to do a little bit more digging to find that.
But who cares? If you're injured, you're injured, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, a 6% risk of injury compared to, you know, a 6 times greater risk of injury compared to a 2 times greater risk of injury is very, very significant.
Right.
And the reason, of course, is this. When you are injured, it's a double whammy. Number one, you can't train until you recover. So you lose all that time. Then, during the time that you're injured, your muscles grow weaker and smaller. They atrophy. And so you lose ground. And so then when you get back to training, first of all, you have to recondition and build up to where you were before your injury. And then you have to try to move forward from there. So an injury can, you know, injury can set you back 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year very, very quickly. And sometimes, of course, an injury can put you out of things completely. I mean, there are people who've torn a shoulder, blown out a pec, torn out a bicep, and they either can't train anymore or they can't train the bench press, they can't do Olympic lifting, they can't do kettlebells, they can't do pull-ups, they can't do squats, they can't do deadlifts. You know, fill in the blank, but they lose something that's a very valuable movement, and it's just gone. And if that is the result of an injury that is caused by overdoing your training load, that's just poor training.
Right.
Okay, and that's the whole point of the article, is that injury may not necessarily be simply an overuse problem. It may be an error in the training load.
Right.
In other words, how you're
advancing in your program.
Yeah, and whether you are doing things in a slow, gradual, progressive manner or in a haphazard, jump into it full speed, you know, without really thinking about what you're doing fashion, which unfortunately is what a lot of people do.
Right.
And, you know, Carl, the listeners may be thinking, well, okay, you know, that's nice that you can increase your training load by 20 to 60% and hurt yourself, or if you don't hurt yourself, end up overtraining. But who in the world would ever do that? I mean, come on. In the real
everybody.
World,
so that's exactly what people do. I mean, the example that you gave of coming off of an injury, right? So people come off of an injury. They have to take off a month. They get into the gym. The first day they train light. Maybe the second day they train light. They feel like they're getting their strength back. They go right back into where they left off to challenge their body to see how fast they can come back. You're talking about increasing a training load by 200% now, not 20%. And then they injure themselves again.
Absolutely. Or here's another example. Somebody goes on vacation and they either can't train or they don't train as much or they don't train as hard. They come back. And so 2, 3, 4 weeks later, they get back into their training. And what do? They go back to exactly what they were doing before they stopped. They forget that they've had 3 or 4 weeks of detraining. And that's where the danger point is, because they're literally going from 0 to 60.
So why don't we do this? Let's take a break, right?
Okay.
But when we come back, let's take some of this data and overlay it and try to come up with some sort of prescription. Not just for avoiding injury, but maybe even how your deload, reload works, weeks should work. Because I'm thinking maybe all you got to do to deload is just come down 20% in your volume so that you can come back up to where you were. And you'll get just as much central nervous system recovery without having to drop the weight and the volume by 50%. That means that the whole deload, reload thing puts you at risk, counter to what people are wanting to do. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Physical Culture Radio.
In real world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit Prime Nutrition MaxHydration.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Physical Culture Radio. I'm talking with my co-host, Brooks Kubik. This is really, I mean, I feel like I'm going to learn something from this discussion because we're going to work it out on the air right now. So taking from what we understand of these two studies, this number, 20% increase in volume slash load slash workload, seems to put someone at the beginning of the risk threshold. And we all want to avoid a risk of injury because progress stops. And there's so many people at the gym that you see, they start looking good. You don't see them for a while and you look at them, you go, man, you know, that guy was looking good. He's back to where he was. And they just keep this shift in first gear, second gear, first gear, second. They never get into third and fourth. They never really see their true potential. And this is part of the reason. So what do you think we can start to extrapolate from this information when we look, especially when we talk about deloading? We know a lot of people deload. They go to 50% of their max weight. They do very, very low volume. It's just kind of a cruising week, and then they come right back again. Should we look at deloading differently as well?
Well, I think that deloading is a good idea, and deloading weeks are a good idea, but I think that 50% is the wrong number. What I like to do for my light weeks is usually more in the neighborhood of 70 or 75%. And that can be 70, 75% of your volume, or it can be 70, 75% of your top weight, or both. However you calculate what you're doing in your workouts, if you drop back to 70 or 75% for your deload, that's a good place to drop back to. 50% is just too low. Now, the similar number comes into play if you're talking about starting a new exercise or a new training program or a new cycle. I like to start at 70 or 75% of what you could do if you were piling the weight on and pushing the reps and going as hard as you could. You know, you start light and easy, and you make progress gradually from there. So 70-75% is, you know, that's kind of like my starting place for light training. And from there, if you go up 5% a week, that's pretty safe. And so is 10%.
But wait a minute.
Here are the numbers. If you look at it, if you go for a 4-week cycle, 70.
If you're looking at a 4-week cycle, based on what you said before about the monthly increments that put you at risk, you said 20% over the course of a month. So should you be looking at this maybe instead of 5% per week, but 3% per week. So you're, you know, you're more like, because there's 4.33 weeks in a month, so you're more like at 16% instead of you're up there at above 20.
Well, it's the current week compared to the previous 4 weeks.
Ah.
But if you look at 70, 80, 90, 100, so 70% in week one, 80% in week two, 90% in week three, 100% in week four, and then you drop back down to 70%, and you keep going through that. I did the math during the break, and basically what happens if you're doing that, your four-week average is always 85. So
you're at 15% increase then.
Yeah, your biggest increase is a 15%.
Right.
And you know, I just scribbled on a piece of paper during the break. The math may be off, but we're talking ballpark. That's pretty safe.
Yeah.
Now, some people may say, okay, I don't feel good increasing from 70% to 80%. That's too much. What should I do? Well, so then the answer is, why don't you do 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, and 100? So now you're looking at a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 week training cycle.
Right.
And you're going up 5% each week. You know, so again, if you do the math, you're never quite in that danger zone in any 1 week.
I'm actually a proponent for slowing it down even more than that. I'm a proponent for holding this new weight slash load plateau for 2 weeks.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to suggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. The even better approach, I think, would be week one, 70%, week two, 70%, week three, 75%, week four, 75%, and so on. So you're doing it, you know, the first week is the week when you go up, and the next week is the holding pattern.
Right.
Or the stabilizing pattern.
Yeah, get comfortable there. Exactly.
And then go up again. That's more of a double progression program. Single progression is when, you know, you're always making an increase.
Right.
And double progression is you are holding the increase. And Bob Hoffman wrote about these in the York Barbell training courses back in the 30s. So it's not a new idea. But the interesting thing was, he said, obviously, you make more initial progress with single progression, but double progression is probably better because it's safer. It avoids the risk of injury or greatly reduces it. And it builds a better foundation. So you ultimately end up bigger and stronger, but it takes more time to get there.
And this is an important, the takes more time to get there part is important. I'll tell you why.
Absolutely.
All of this we're discussing about the threshold of risk and overtraining is all a result of people's impatience,
yes,
to reach goals. We look at bodybuilders, we look at strongmen, we look at these guys, we're so impressed with them, we dedicate ourselves to the lifestyle, but we don't realize that at the moment we became dedicated, the examples that inspired us to dedicate have been doing this for 15, 20 years. And no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear, well, you should have started when he did, when he was 17. Instead, now I'm 40 or 35. I want to get ripped and shredded and freaky strong and freaky muscular, but I want to do it in the next couple years. And so this is the reason why we're even having this discussion, because if everybody took their time, if everybody really trained, not with the goal of what they want to look like and the desire to have it happen so much faster than it really can, but if people looked at things the way they're supposed to, like, yeah, I'd like to add 5 to 10% of workload to my workouts every single month, and do that for a steady period of time with some plateau opportunities, some detraining opportunities, and so on and so forth, and this journey is going to take me
8 years to get where I want to get based on that. Most people would look at that and they go, oh God, that's how long it's going to take. I don't want to wait that long. I want to be strong, ripped and muscular like soon. I want to be able to get on the beach to, you know, we've got 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the problem happens. This is why people push themselves into high risk injury environments, in my opinion.
Well, that's absolutely true. And you have all of the media driving it now, all of the marketing, you know, everybody is bombarded with images of people who are strong, fit, cut, ripped
in 90 days.
And yeah, and it's all in 90 days or 30 days or 21 days.
21 day. I love the 21 day solution. I love that one.
Yeah. You know, it's bigger muscles in, fill in the blank, instant muscles, overnight strength. And people just they are not given a chance. They don't get the message. It takes time. You have to do it slowly, steadily, progressively. I mean, it's almost like somebody was saying, okay, here is a course that will give you a PhD in nuclear physics in 3 days.
Yeah, would you trust that course?
I mean, I don't think so. I wouldn't. This is going to make you an Olympic athlete in 1 week. Here is a program that in 1 day is going to, you know, fill in the blank, whatever. That's the way things are marketed, and it's really an unfortunate thing and a disservice, and it ties into this need for instant gratification. You know, you not only gotta have it, gotta have it now, gotta have it immediately. And that's a problem. And people have got to accept the slower, longer, more gradual approach, because that really is one of the secrets of staying in the game, staying healthy, staying strong for a very, very long time. It's the key to longevity.
All right, let's take this commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side. It's an important discussion, and hopefully many of you, like myself, are looking at this and going, you know, maybe I need to chart my progress a little differently, because the longer you can train, the bigger and stronger you will get. So stay tuned.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit Coach Rob. MassRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils, high-end CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SA. HR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
I knew that I would. Welcome back. So, in summary, the goal has to be to make your progress fit into a schedule that keeps you from increasing your workload or volume by 20% or more so that you stay out of the risk zone. And this 20%, we can think of it as the human potential red line, if you want, Will. If you have a car and you're driving and you're shifting at the red line every single gear, you're going to blow something. You're over-revving the engine. You're taxing the drivetrain. You're just not doing the right thing. And this could be thought of as the potential physical output red line. If you are constantly increasing your workload in that range of 20% or more, you're going to blow out your body's clutch. You're going to burn out the engine. You're going to do all the things you could do to a car if you're shifting it in the red line all the time.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know, if you blow out your car, that's a bad thing. You may have to buy a new car. You blow out your body, that could be a really bad thing because you may not be able to buy a new body. This is very serious stuff. But the other thing that I was thinking, about a year ago, I did a training course, Dinosaur Training Secrets, Volume 3, Secrets of Old School Progression Systems. And the old school training methods were pretty much all about slow cooking methods. Gradual increases. You start an exercise with 5 reps. You do 5 reps in the next workout. Then you go to 6 reps. You do 6 reps in the next workout. Then you go to 7 and so on, and you gradually work your way up to 10 reps. Then you add a very small amount of weight to the bar, drop back to 5, and repeat the process. Now, you know, that's an example. There are others. For example, somebody who's doing really heavy Olympic lifting or powerlifting or strongman training might be doing working up to a heavy single and let's say the bench press or the squat or the deadlift or the clean, whatever. So you work up to one heavy single in week one. In week two, you work up to one heavy single. In week three, you add one heavy single. So you're increasing your volume by 1 rep. If you're looking at tonnage, let's say it's a 300-pound power clean, you've increased your training tonnage by 300 pounds,
right?
Which is not a lot. And you gradually, you do that until you're doing five singles, and then you drop back to one single, but you use five more pounds on your top set. That's the kind of very gradual
nudge,
yeah, that the old timers used to do. And Doug Hepburn, for example, 1953 world weightlifting champion in the heavyweight class, world record holder in the military press, one of the biggest, strongest men of his generation, was adamant that he would only increase one rep a workout. Because if he did any faster than that, if he tried to force his progress more than that, he would overtrain.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm talking about someone who was in his prime.
Superhuman.
Superhuman. The strongest man in the world. And he was very exact and precise about this. One rep, that's it. He would hold up very small plates. And he would say, you know, I'm going to put this on the bar. I know I can do it because if I can press 400 pounds, I can press 402 and a half pounds.
Right.
So I've got these little 1 1/4 pound plates. I know I can add them to the bar. I know I can do them. But that's all I'm going to do.
How many of us actually do this? I was just thinking about it. I mean, how many of us add fractional plates? A fractional plate to me is anything that's 5 pounds or less. So how many people just throw 25s, 35s, and 45s on bars or on machines and don't pay attention to fractional plates? That just dawned on me.
That's part of the whole.
I would say if you're one of those people, then you are probably always pushing yourself into the high risk zone without even paying attention to it. If all you ever do is increase the bar by 25s, 35s, and 45s.
That's very true. And I mean, if you do that, you're definitely asking for trouble. I have always used combinations of pound plates and kilo plates. Okay. You know, your kilo plates will be 11 pounds. You know, 5.5 pounds, 11 pounds, 22 pounds, 33 pounds, 44 pounds. You use those in combination with your pound plates, and now you can do much more precise loading. And then if you use micro plates, I've got 1/2 pound plates and 1 pound plates. You know, I will sometimes put a collar on the bar, sometimes not, sometimes put two collars on. There's lots of different little things that I do so that I can nudge things around pretty much wherever I want and do those 1 pound increases. I actually did this in my workout last night. I did it in the workout before. Sometimes it's a challenge because I have to sit there and add up the plates a couple times and make sure I've got them right. But, you know, that's just part of the fun of the game. But it's really important to understand that very gradual, slow progress is really what your body was built for, designed for. And big, huge increases, they work for a while, but they don't work for very long.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, social media is one of the drivers on this. You know, how many times do I see it pops up in my Facebook, a coach or personal trainer or gym owner posts, you know, Johnny Jones or Susie Smith. My apologies to Johnny Jones and Susie Smith out there, because I know there are people who have those real names, but I'm trying to be fictitious. But, you know, they post a video of someone that they train, and they say, you know, third deadlift workout, setting the new PR by 50 pounds or 100 pounds. And I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. You know, that's not true progress. That's just learning a new exercise, for one thing. But the other thing is, why are you taking them up so fast? Yeah. All you want is to be able to brag that you increased someone's deadlift or whatever exercise by, you know, so many pounds and so many workouts. It sounds good, but to me it would sound a whole lot better to say, you know, this is Johnny Jones or this is Susie Smith. He or she started with 80 pounds in this exercise or 40 pounds or whatever and is now 6 months later doing 140 pounds.
Right.
You know, we added weight gradually, but look at the progress we made. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
That'd be a good message.
Well, it's an example of using everything in reserve to prove that you can move a weight, but you can't progress from there. You know, if you have a 20-gallon gas tank and you keep filling it up when it gets to 10 gallons and everything is going great, and one day you decide to challenge it and drive the whole 20 gallons out, it's not like you gained 10 gallons. You just used something that was in reserve. As a result of that, it's not like you're going to come back and be able to put more gas in it, 30 gallons of gas in it. You have a certain amount of work that you can do, and you can either take it slow and let it unfold, or you can go right to the hilt today. You'll probably move some serious weight, but you're not going to be 6 months later starting from that, going into all strength reserve and adding 50 pounds to that. That's not going to happen. But if you go slowly and chip away at it, then yeah, you may end up with a total increase in strength that's so much greater than if you just used everything in reserve from the get-go and said, look how strong I'm getting already. No.
Well, that's the building the better foundation concept that I mentioned earlier. If you take the time to make slow, gradual, steady progress, number one, you avoid injuries. Number two, you avoid overtraining. But number three, you actually get better results in the long term because you have built a better foundation. And it, you know, I'm not talking about training your entire life to try to achieve a particular goal. You can develop a tremendous, very impressive physique, great strength, very good lifting ability. You know, you can really get very high in any activity that interests you in about 2 or 3 years of good, hard, solid effort.
Yeah.
You know, which is not a long time. I mean, if you're in high school, you go into high school, you know, in ninth grade, if it's a 4-year school, you go in at ninth grade, you're on the freshman football team or basketball team or wrestling team, and the guys on the varsity squad are like worlds ahead of you. Right? But they're only 4 years older. And if you keep going and working and chipping away and putting in the time, by the time you're a sophomore, you're going to be a whole lot closer to the varsity guys. And by the time you're a junior, you're going to be a varsity guy.
Right.
You know, I mean, that shows you what you can do in just a couple of years. And once you're there with a good, strong, sturdy foundation built and you've learned how to train and you've learned how to progress and you know what your body needs, from there, the sky's the limit.
The website is BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com. You can learn more about Brooks by visiting that website. I hope people start taking this into consideration, this 20% increase in volume and workload as a guide to stay in the gym and stay off the sidelines. Brooks, thanks a lot today, brother.
Hey, thank you, Carl. Have a good one, man.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Mauro DiPasquale to talk about insulin, what we knew, what we thought we knew, and what we've learned. Stay tuned.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in canned CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Insulin is a very, very interesting peptide. Shows up on the scene really not too long ago, when you think about it in the terms of our history and medicine in general. My next guest is a returning favorite of the show, Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. How you doing, Dr. DiPasquale?
Well, I'm just fine, Carl.
And we should announce that there are some power outages going on in the area of North America where Dr. DiPasquale resides. So if we do drop him, we'll just take an early break and pick him right back up and come back on the other side. So anyway, when did you first become interested in insulin and why?
Well, it was well over 50 years ago when I first entered the a research level 4-year course at University of Toronto, and I majored in genetics and molecular biochemistry. But some of my lectures took place in the Banting and Best building at the University of Toronto. And of course, Banting and Best were the people back 60, 70 years ago who isolated insulin and started using it to treat diabetics, saved a lot of lives. You know, so, you know, I naturally became interested in the insulin saga, so to speak, you know, and started doing some research and read up on pancreatic insulin effects. And at that time, you know, insulin, and it still is that way, is known for its role in glucose homeostasis. In other words, you know, the effects of you know, taking in carbs, et cetera, and forming glucose by other means. And especially, everyone, you know, thinks of insulin, they think of diabetes, you know, and this seems to be common knowledge, but beyond that, there's very little known about it by most people.
So you were an athlete already at this point in time, right?
Yes, I was. I had been training for over 5 years already.
So did you, when you saw and started to look at insulin, did you look at it through the eyes of a clinician? Did you look at it through the eyes of an athlete, or is it really the same?
Both. Obviously, as a clinician, because after the 4-year course, instead of going on in research, I decided to go into medicine, and because we had taken such a comprehensive course, I actually skipped first 3 years of pre-meds. I didn't have to do that because we'd covered everything in detail beyond that. And I actually skipped the first year of medicine. So I went right into second year of medicine. And the only reason I did that was because we hadn't taken anatomy in this in this research course. Otherwise, I would have gone into third year, and in 2 years I would have been finished.
Wow, that's pretty funny. So when you started to look at insulin, what piqued your interest? What did you see that made it novel to you?
Well, I thought that insulin was such a necessary hormone in the body. I mean, lack of insulin led to death. I mean, how many things can you say that? For example, leptin. If there's no leptin, if there's no growth hormone, if there's no testosterone, for example, you don't die. You may feel the effects. So I thought, here's a compound, a hormone, a peptide that is so important in the body. And the discovery was so important that you know, there had to be a lot more to it.
When did we discover type 1 diabetes? And the reason I ask that is, do you think in the framework of evolution we ever saw people who were truly diabetic, where the pancreas produced nothing? Because they would have died very early on, and obviously their genes would have died with them. They would not have cast forward into the gene pool. Do you think we had this type of disease before modernity, or do you think that's completely a result of modernity?
I don't think it's a result of modernity. Don't forget, things crop up in the genome that can be counterproductive, and they'll keep cropping up. I mean, you know, I don't want to mention obvious cases, but there are cases where people do not have any children, and yet the same genetic problems keep cropping up in the population.
Right.
Same thing with insulin. So, you know, genetics is a very complex issue. We really haven't figured out a lot of the things we need to figure out to really nail it down.
Right, right. So, from a health standpoint, what is it that we exclusively thought that insulin's sole purpose was to help manage blood sugar levels? What has changed since then in the health arena?
Well, first of all, insulin receptors and insulin effects are felt in almost all tissues in the body. All right? So what we have here, we have insulin regulates macronutrient metabolism. In other words, what happens to proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. Also, energy metabolism. You know, how these compounds are used, whether it goes through the TCA cycle, how fatty acids get into mitochondria. All aspects of energy metabolism are affected by insulin. And usually in the context of the environment that modulates the effects of insulin. In other words, interactions with other hormones, growth factors, cytokines, adipokines, myokines, including things like leptin, adiponectin, GH-relin, hypothalamic and pituitary hormones. I mean, it's endless. The interactions are so important. The environment is so important that the effects of insulin are so varied under different conditions.
Is insulin resistance and insulin sensitivity in tissue homogenous throughout the body, or could you actually have some tissue that presents as resistant to insulin and some that presents as ultra-sensitive to insulin at the same time in the same body?
That's a really good question. Most people assume that insulin resistance and sensitivity are systemic. In other words, all throughout the body you have the same effects. But insulin resistance and sensitivity are really grossly misunderstood by almost everyone, including researchers. Because they only look at specific aspects of insulin. So, and they're limited by their research parameters. In other words, it's like looking through a huge panoramic landscape through a keyhole. You just can't see the whole picture, only small aspects of the picture. So, an insulin resistance is generally defined, for example, as the inability of target tissues to increase glucose uptake in response to insulin. Glucose uptake in response to insulin. Nobody mentions anything about fatty acids, fat metabolism, protein synthesis, etc. And the whole basis of that, of the glucose, is that insulin resistance eventually leads to, metabolic syndrome and then type 2 diabetes, etc. Insulin sensitivity, of course, is the opposite of insulin resistance, the ability of target tissues to increase glucose uptake in response to insulin. Again, glucose uptake in response to insulin.
Insulin, right.
Yeah, this is the whole basis of much of the research that's being done, especially since diabetes is such a huge problem and increasing in the population. But that's only a small part of the story.
Okay, I have so many questions. We may actually have to do this in two parts. So we know that, and now we're going to shift a little bit to performance enhancing. So we know that anabolic steroids have the ability to actually cause some level of insulin resistance in tissue. I'm unclear if that is muscle tissue or other tissue outside of muscle, first of all. Do you know about this phenomenon?
Oh, yeah, I do. But you see, the whole business about the interpretation of insulin sensitivity and resistance is really simplistic. It doesn't take into account the effects of insulin on fat, protein metabolism. It doesn't take into account the fact that the two, and this is part of the question you answered previously, part of the question you asked me previously, that the two, both resistance and sensitivity, can be present in tissues and even in individual cells, can have differences in insulin sensitivity and resistance on macronutrient and energy metabolism in one cell. Never mind systemic, in other words, involving
right.
the whole body.
Right.
So, you know, it's really such a complex issue. I think we can deal with various aspects of it as we talk.
Okay. So let's talk about GLUT4 for a second, because one of the things that is supposedly, quote-unquote, displaced by some of the stronger androgens is GLUT4, and it affects glucose uptake by, for instance, muscle cells. So obviously there are more mechanisms shuttling or responsible for shuttling glucose into cells than just insulin and insulin receptors. What role does insulin play in the hand-in-hand relationship with GLUT4, for instance?
Well, I think it's paramount for GLUT4. Don't forget IGF-1. Also affects the glucose transport across the membranes into the cells. Other hormones, growth factors, etc., work in concert with insulin, IGF-1, growth hormone, which I mentioned, leptin, etc., to increase or decrease macronutrient transport and utilization in tissues, cells, and over the whole body, including the brain, by the way.
Yeah, that which is now being
and
called
hypothalamus are very important.
Much of neurological diseases that affect the brain is now being attributed to something called type 3 diabetes, which is the rest of the body may be fine, but the brain has become insulin resistant. Speaks to the whole nature of this idea that it's homogenous. You know, oh well, if you're insulin sensitive, if you're not diabetic, you have nothing to worry about. There's more going on.
Far from homogenous. I mean, even, for example, take muscle cell. You can be insulin sensitive for a protein synthesis and insulin resistant as far as fat metabolism. Or, this is the part that really needs a lot of work needs to be done in, the fact that you can actually have insulin sensitivity in muscle cells for protein synthesis, but you can also have sensitivity to the breakdown of body fat, breakdown of the lipid drops in muscle cells, and utilization of that through beta oxidation for energy. So here we have a paradox. In other words, here we have insulin sensitivity to an anabolic effect on protein synthesis, but then we have the opposite, in which the presence of insulin actually increases the breakdown of fat rather than the storage of fat, and increases beta oxidation and the utilization of the two carbon units that are the end result of beta oxidation as an energy mechanism for the muscle cell. Ordinarily, you think of insulin as a storage hormone. In other words,
right.
The general consensus is, okay, you're insulin sensitive, so, okay, you're going to have some anabolic effects because of protein synthesis, but you're actually going to store more fat because it's a storage hormone. You know, you're going to decrease the formation of the breakdown of fat, but you're going to increase the actual accumulation of fat and even increase de novo lipogenesis, the actual formation of fat from other compounds, you know, other macronutrient breakdown compounds. So it's such a complex issue.
I know,
that
This is something. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I want to take a break because I want to come back when we have some more concentrated time to talk about this phenomenon. When I started doing research into insulin many years ago, I started to read things that, to my uneducated mind, actually said that insulin can be catabolic in some circumstances, which is kind of what you're speaking to about its effect on fat here.
But definitely.
I want to talk about, is it possible that insulin can also be catabolic on muscle in the effort to, say, in things like cachexia, where we're trying to get more amino acids into the bloodstream to run the body? Can insulin actually be catabolic in some instance?
Oh, definitely.
This is good. Yeah. So I don't think people think of this when they think of insulin.
Yeah, I also want to cover the athlete's paradox.
Yes.
Which is very, very interesting.
Okay, let's do that. Let's take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Mauro DePasquale. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. Can see eye drops. The name says it all.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's
world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Dr. DiPasquale is relaunching his newsletter, right, Mauro?
Right. Yeah, that should be coming up probably in 2 or 3 weeks.
If you want to get the inside track on some of this type of intelligent, thoughtful discussion, and you don't want to wait for a show, you can join the newsletter. How do people reach you if they want to be added to the newsletter list?
Well, they can actually go on the site at www.mauromd.com and just sign up to the newsletter, or they can contact me directly at md.mdplus@gmail.com.
There you go. So, like I said, when I started to read research many years ago about insulin, I started to discover what I thought was insulin's catabolic effects, which made no sense because, as you point out, we think of insulin as a storage hormone. We think of it as a powerful anabolic hormone. Is it conditional that when it's anabolic and when it's catabolic?
Well, there's no doubt about that. In other words, you know, we talked about the epigenetic changes in the body due to environmental factors. And this plays into the effects of insulin, whether it's going to be anabolic, catabolic, what effect it has on tissues, et cetera. Now, usually the effect on macronutrient and energy metabolism, the usual thing you think of is you increased fat production, decreases fat breakdown, increases protein synthesis, decreases protein breakdown, increases glycogen formation, in other words, you know, taking the glucose into glycogen,
right, storing it.
And decreasing the breakdown of glycogen. But what people don't understand is it also increases gluconeogenesis. Now, gluconeogenesis is a fairly complex process. Basically, you're making sugar, glucose, from other compounds, other macronutrients like proteins and even fats. Now, that is a catabolic response in a way, because if you're going to do it from other proteins, the proteins have to come from somewhere.
Right.
If it doesn't come from the diet, then it comes from muscle tissue usually. So there's a breakdown, a catabolic effect on insulin in order to produce a certain amount of glucose that the body needs. There are tissues in the body that cannot operate on ketones or short or long chain fatty acids, etc. For example, red blood cells can only do a glycolytic process. They don't have the TCA cycle intermediates in order to produce oxidative phosphorylation and a large production of ATP. So you need a certain level of glucose, and when the body is in starvation mode or in a mode where you're decreasing carbohydrates almost to nothing, but on not keeping up your protein intake, it definitely has a catabolic effect. And this goes on to exercise as well. If you're in that condition, there's even more of a catabolic effect. Unless you're doing certain things to counteract it.
Is insulin sensitivity more important than ultimate insulin and glucose levels in the body as far as seeing the benefits of insulin's anabolic effects?
Yeah, I mean, insulin sensitivity is very important. I mean, insulin resistance basically means that the body is not responding, again, you know, using the glucose parameter, not responding to glucose by putting up putting out enough insulin. It has to put out a lot more insulin to get the effect of decreasing glucose in the bloodstream, which can be obviously lead to diabetes, et cetera. So, you know, it's a balance.
But what about this notion that hard-training athletes, especially those who desire greater muscular gains and strength gains, must eat a high-carbohydrate diet, especially during the quote-unquote anabolic window, in order to stimulate insulin production? Wouldn't it be wiser to maintain higher insulin sensitivity for a longer window of time than this brief window of trying to spike insulin to get it all done real fast?
Well, insulin, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think we covered this
years ago.
Yeah. What happens, of course, is insulin is acutely sensitive to glucose and gluconeogenesis, so that increasing glucose is paramount to building up glycogen levels to, you know, that have been decreased by exercise, et cetera, especially in athletes who are not, you know, fat adapted. And so what we have is once insulin fills up its glycogen stores, which can happen within an hour and a half, then the other effects of insulin on protein synthesis also decrease.
Mm.
So if you keep your levels to the point where you're not introducing, you need a basal amount of insulin, maybe a slightly elevated due to some of the proteins that you'll take in after working out, but no carbohydrates. This will keep the insulin sensitivity high for several hours. Now, after a hard workout, insulin sensitivity can be kept elevated for up to 48 hours. And so
if you don't spike glucose
exactly
by having 80 grams of dextrose post workout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing too is you got to be very careful with the kind of proteins you take. A small amount of the best protein mix, for example, is a combination of slow and fast proteins.
Now, right.
Slow and fast proteins basically are fast proteins are your whey protein. If you take too much whey protein after your workout, the gluconeogenesis kicks in very rapidly, and this increases glucose in the system and decreases insulin sensitivity in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need is some of that at the beginning, but you also need specific amino acids. And as we know, casein, which coagulates in the stomach, takes a much longer period of time and leaves a lower level of amino acids, which can be utilized by the body to keep up protein synthesis for a much longer period of time and actually increases the hypertrophic response of exercise on skeletal muscle.
All right. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to just delve into slightly the use of actual insulin in sports for greater muscle gains and what we know now that we didn't know back then. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best.
best thing you have ever done for your business.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all 4 forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Big sight, new, Hank.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. We're talking about insulin. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about sports performance and performance enhancement, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about overall health, because I've got some really good questions in that area as well. Many years ago, athletes who wanted acquisition of greater muscle gains saw insulin solely for its anabolic effects. They started to use it in conjunction with meals with certain macronutrient ratios in the desire to actually cause a greater degree of protein synthesis and glycogen synthesis and restorage. Is it still working that way, or are we learning anything different about the use of insulin as a muscle builder?
Well, you have to. Okay. The whole business with insulin, you have to understand that it's a very complex, interactive network of many, many systems involved with the effects of insulin. So, and the mechanisms are at this point are elusive, and we need more studies to delineate the pathways and signaling systems involved. But as far as people using insulin, these people that are using insulin are usually using with a specific macronutrient intake. Sure, that's right. But they're also using it with other drugs. Now, they're using it with IGF-1, they're using it with anabolic steroids, they're using it with growth hormone, thyroid hormone, etc. In cases like that, the effects of insulin can be modulated. So that what happens is you can, in fact, get an increased anabolic response, an increased increase in protein synthesis, an increase in muscle hypertrophy, along with these other agents which work in concert with the insulin. So that's why athletes using the insulin are almost always athletes using various other drugs and ergogenic aids in a specific way. So yeah, it can work, but can also work the other way. So if you're just using insulin alone, you're spiking insulin after workout by using a fast-acting insulin, you're kind of counterproductive at that point because, sure, yeah, you'll get your glycogen levels up and you will get a spike in protein synthesis, but it'll last for a short period of time. And for the rest of the time while you're recuperating, you're not going to have much going on.
So what imposes the greatest effect, do you think, on maintaining that prolonged window of insulin sensitivity in the face of exogenous insulin use? Is it thyroid hormone, or is it the anabolic effectors?
I think it's a combination of everything. Thyroid, of course, is very important. And as you know, a lot of these athletes also use Cytomel and other thyroid compounds to enhance certain aspects of it. But you got to, you know, using all these drugs in concert is something that's fairly complex and something that these athletes learn to use to adjust to their body type and their genetic and epigenetic makeup. So they experiment to see what effects they get. In other words, if they use the insulin and all the other substances and all of a sudden they're finding that they're accumulating subcutaneous and visceral body fat, then at that point they adjust the regimen.
Yeah, and insulin is not something you want to fool around with, because I actually know a bodybuilder in Arizona who today is in an institution because he went into a diabetic coma because he didn't time his food and the amount of food right with his insulin injection, and he was only 28 or 29 years old, and he's been literally, I mean, I met with him when I was living in Arizona because his wife reached out to me, but there's nothing going on and behind his eyes anymore. I mean, he's just,
no,
he just breathes.
I mean,
yeah. So it's very, yeah, there's not something you should,
it's a powerful, powerful hormone. And this is what got me interested in the first place way back when, over 50 years ago. How can such a powerful hormone that can cause death if it's not present and has such an effect on glucose and, you know, all aspects of metabolism, et cetera. You know, we just don't know very much. Back in the 1940s when you know, they discovered insulin, it was mainly because people were dying from lack of insulin and they needed something, you know. At first, the first things they did is they ground up pancreas and injected the pancreas.
Right.
But of course, that didn't work nearly as well. And the same thing happened with testosterone. You know, back in the 1980s, they ground up testicular tissue and injected
right.
that as well. And the first person that did that found that he had fantastic effects. But a lot of those effects, of course, were psychological rather than physiological. But then, you know, things changed as they discovered testosterone back in the 1930s, the actual testosterone molecules, and started synthesizing it.
What about the role of minerals like chromium and magnesium? It was once thought that chromium exerted an effect on insulin sensitivity. Then I read a study probably 5 years ago that said that it works through a completely different pathway. More recently, there's been some research coming out that's saying it does increase insulin sensitivity. What do you think about chromium, first of all?
Well, certain levels of chromium are important, of course, and you can overdo chromium because it can be toxic. Yeah, I think it does. Vanadium, chromium. There are a number of compounds that increase insulin sensitivity, including things you wouldn't think of, like L-carnitine increases. Acetyl-carnitine, which is, I think we talked about acetyl-carnitine just between the two of us.
Right.
The two of them can be, you know, transposed, metabolized into the other. But acetyl-carnitine is inside the muscle cell, for example. It acts as a buffer for, especially if you're on low-carb diets and you're producing, you know, ketones, which start off as basic oxidation of long chain fatty acids that are brought into the mitochondria. So you get these two carbon units, and they can form ketones. But if there's too much of them, it binds with carnitine, the L-carnitine, and produces acetyl L-carnitine, which acts as a buffer. So when it's needed, it goes back again into the acetyl CoA units, which are used for generating ATP through the Krebs TCA cycle, whatever you want to call it. It's so interrelated and so fascinating. We could spend, and we probably will spend, a whole show on just the Krebs cycle.
Yeah, and carnitine especially. We're actually planning.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So chromium, vanadium, magnesium, these all seem to increase insulin sensitivity. But as you point out, in the area of chromium and vanadium, once you reach a certain cellular status, doesn't it stay like that for a very long time? We're talking about metals here. We talk about how metals accumulate
yes.
in cells. You don't have to take it every day. You may have to take it every day for a few months, and then you're done, right?
Yeah, yeah. What happens is that it's excreted very, very slowly and broken down slowly. The metabolic aspects of these metals can stay around for a long time. So if you chronically over years take chromium and vanadium, you could well run into toxic effects from both.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
So it's like everything else. You know, moderation is the key for most things. You know, overdoing it often causes problems because it's counterproductive to the metabolism in the body itself.
From an evolutionary perspective, why would we have insulin-like growth factor, which mimics insulin, so looks like insulin, and so acts like insulin? What do you think happened through our evolutionary journey that we needed this other peptide to back up insulin to a certain degree, so to speak?
Well, it does back up insulin, but it also has other properties. IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1, has distinct properties from insulin, distinct properties from growth hormone, and it has its function in the body, which we can go into, but we can discuss other times. One thing I did want to discuss is this business about lipids in muscle cells and the effects of these in lipids. The general consensus, do you want to cover this?
Yeah, please.
The general consensus is that lipids accumulation in muscle cells is counterproductive, leads to toxic effects, and leads to diabetes. But I think, and I think I've said this before, you can't take people who are into exercise and compare them to people who are sedentary. Okay, the effects, the environment, the epigenetic effects are so different that you just can't compare one to the other. And we really in the research haven't caught up to this. I'll give you an example. You know CLA, conjugated linoleic acid?
Right.
Now that's a trans fat. Trans fats are usually our intake of trans fats is from synthetically produced
right.
in our food, especially
right.
fast foods, etc. Okay, right. They're almost universally recognized to be harmful. In other words, they can cause coronary artery disease, high blood pressure, obesity, and they're even suspected in some cancers. But that applies to the ordinary almost couch potato, which most people are, and that aren't into exercise. But it doesn't apply to athletes. And those who are into exercise, CLA actually has a beneficial effect on body composition and performance, okay? A more direct example, and I mentioned this just previously, is the athlete's paradox. And what that is in most people, decades of research have shown that fat accumulation, which is called intramyocellular fat accumulation, in muscle cells, so the fat inside the muscle cells, usually mostly in the form of triglycerides, but also has other fatty acids. So you have these droplets of fat in muscle cells, results in lipotoxicity. In other words, it's toxic to the cells in people who don't exercise. It causes mitochondrial dysfunction, a decrease in mitochondrial biogenesis. And I think you mentioned the mitochondrial biogenesis at an earlier time as well.
Right.
It increases the number of mitochondria, increases the efficiency, et cetera. I think people know what mitochondria are. They're
yeah.
energy-producing organelles in each cell in the body that produces the energy we need to live and function, et cetera, and health. In contrast, okay, the athlete's paradox, they have as much fat in their muscle cells as the people with diabetes,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have diabetes. Actually, rather than insulin resistance at that point, which is the diabetic hallmark, they're actually insulin sensitive
right.
because of this accumulation. Now, there's different reasons why this may occur. We haven't really figured out completely why, but my ideas are that, first of all, the intramuscular triacylglycerols, the fat droplets, are not turned over very well. In an athlete who's into exercise and everything, there's a rapid turnover. It's used as a primary energy fuel. It's broken down, and then after it's built up again and broken down again, whereas people with sedentary, it kind of stays there.
Right.
And also, the composition may change. Instead of it just being triacylglycerols, like the triglycerides, it could have ceramides, which can be toxic.
Yeah.
It can have diacylglycerol, which are felt to be somewhat counterproductive. Also, when you look at electron microscopic studies of a cell, a muscle cell, you can see that the lipid droplets in athletes are like fused to the mitochondria.
Yeah, because
okay?
they're ready to be used as energy.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas in regular people, they're not as close. They're
mm-hmm.
just kind of sitting there. Okay, so. And also, the oxidative capacity of an athlete is much higher. There's so many differences. But this is the problem. You can't take someone who's into exercise with all the benefits that exercise have, all the changes that exercise makes on your genetic, phenotypic, epigenetic makeup, and compare it to the couch potato,
right?
Which most people are.
You know, I've had this same discussion with scientists that have been on the show over this now soon be 11 years. mm-hmm. where I've always, they've told me about something that happens, a phenomenon in disease, and then I've told them about something similar that happens, a phenomenon in those who train with great intensity. And, mm-hmm. and I've even read some really good books on pathological and physiological changes to the heart. And you see a lot of the same changes to the heart, for instance. Mm-hmm. Thickening of the wall and hypertrophy and striation of fat changes and all right. these other things that you see pathologically from a couch potato. And they're both existing in two very different individuals. And in one, it's killing them. And in the other one, it's making the pump stronger. So we can't, exactly. we have to stop looking at some of this stuff and going, oh, this is a sign of disease. No, there are definitely pathological and physiological changes to the body that look the same, but in two different individuals, they're doing completely different things.
I agree 100%. And this, I've said this for decades.
Yeah, I mean, blood pressure is a perfect example. There is pathologically high blood pressure, and then there's physically physiologically high blood pressure. A guy whose plumbing has been upgraded from decades of heavy training, a guy or gal whose heart, the pump has been upgraded from decades of heavy resistance training, they may sit down and the doctor will go, wow, you're pre-hypertensive. You know, you're 137 over 87. And they're yeah. looking at you like the guy who sits down all day long and doesn't move. No.
That's so typical, trust me. And this is something I've been saying, like I say, for decades. You know, you just can't correlate one with the other. You just can't do it.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to look at something again from an evolutionary perspective. We're talking with Dr. Mara DePasquale. We're talking about insulin. We're going to talk more about fat and insulin when we come back. Stay tuned.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com,
Learn. Teach. Lead.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Hello, boys and girls.
Welcome back.
My name is Fat Lip.
We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. We're talking about insulin, all things insulin. Very varied discussion. We also know that lots of things happen in the face of high blood sugar and insulin levels. I was just talking to a researcher the other day who talked about the importance of a fat-rich diet in mitigating some of the pathological changes in cholesterol production and levels. And, you know, adding fat to the diet, they used walnuts, increased HDL and lowered LDL significantly, and so the study was written about it. But it didn't do the same thing in those who were already insulin resistant, which makes you wonder about insulin's effects on cholesterol production, triglycerides, and so on, because we know that it affects triglyceride utilization in muscle. We just talked about that. So from an evolutionary perspective, Dr. DiPasquale, why would high insulin and obviously in concert with high blood sugar levels and insulin resistance, why would the body become so dyslipidemic? What is it trying to balance? Because the body does everything for a reason. If none of it's accidental, it's 4.6 million years of evolution of checks and balances. Why the dyslipidemia in the presence of such high insulin levels? What goal does the body have?
Well, I'm not sure if it has a goal at all. As a matter of fact, a lot of it could be due to the environmental changes that we've gone through over the last 10,000 years since, farming, et cetera, was initiated to produce our food supply. excuse me, this whole business of genetics and epigenetics, which we'll be covering in a future show, I firmly believe that the hardwired DNA is not as immutable as everybody believes. In other words, I believe that epigenetic changes in the DNA actually causes hardwired DNA changes in one generation. So that, you know, what happened 10,000 years ago may have very little to do with our present environmental effects. So the environment that we're in now, the kind of foods we're eating, et cetera, could be producing dyslipidemia, and even that's controversial. I mean, the whole business about HDL and LDL is much more complicated than what many, many people believe, including researchers. It all depends on the density of the particles, depends on the number. HDL can be harmful, for example. LDL can be beneficial. So we can cover this in another show. But I'll just give an example here. Acylcarnitines, you know what those are?
Yes.
Okay, so basically speaking, different lengths of fatty acids. It can be long-chain fatty acids, could be shorter-chain fatty acids, whatever. Couple up with L-carnitine, and through the enzyme CPT1, it crosses into the cell, into the mitochondria, okay? But an accumulation of these compounds can be quite counterproductive to insulin sensitivity and induced insulin resistance, okay? So, but there are things that will change that. For example, even though someone may have high levels of acylcarnitines in the cell and outside the cell, which induces oxidative stress and insulin resistance, that can be reversed by treatment with antioxidants, for example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So here we have maybe a diet that we're having now which are low in natural antioxidants, because a lot of people eat fast food. You know, eating good, healthy foods is expensive. A lot of people just can't afford it. So going to McDonald's or Burger King or whatever you get with all this garbage that you get along with it can cause changes in the person's makeup to cause these problems with the dyslipidemia.
Interesting.
So you can't look with blinders at these things. You have
right.
to kind of look with an umbrella kind of effect so that you can see what's doing what and why is it doing it and what we need to know to delineate further why these things are happening, okay? I don't think there's an evolutionary basis for it.
Right.
I think it's a basis of our environment today.
Modernity,
And when we cover epigenetics, we'll cover this fact that I think that epigenetic changes can actually change hardwired DNA.
Well, now you mentioned antioxidants, and antioxidant status is something that interests me when it comes to blood sugar management. I don't know what role it plays in insulin and insulin sensitivity, but I've noticed a phenomenon over the past, gosh, I don't remember when I started taking my own blood sugar as a method of tracking my own physiology and biology. But a glucometer has been a regular tool of mine, and I check my blood sugar probably at least now two or three times a month. Used to do it a lot more frequently. I've noticed something over the years, and that is if I get my Lancet ready and pulled back, and I get my glucometer, and the test strip is in there and it's blinking and waiting, and I prick my finger, and I quickly bring the blood droplet down there, it gets sucked up through capillary action into the test strip, and I get a reading very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If I immediately change that test strip with another one, with the time it just takes to pull one out and put another one in, and squeeze my finger again, now I let the blood sit in the open air for a count of 10, and then I test it, my blood sugar level is dramatically higher, which started me to think, I wonder if antioxidant status / oxidative stress has the ability to make blood produce glucose in a threatening environment, which obviously if you're bleeding, this is a problem. The body is going to increase. So that when oxygen starts to oxidize the blood, it starts to increase blood sugar. Am I real far off on this? Have you discovered?
Actually, you're not far off at all. I mentioned the acylcarnitine induced oxidative stress and insulin resistance just recently, and a study showed that they were reversed by treatment with antioxidants. So here you are, leaving the blood under stressful conditions, depleting any antioxidant status and increasing your glucose levels. That's highly, highly likely.
So could it be said that there are some people out there who are becoming insulin resistant because they have ever elevating blood sugar levels, that antioxidant status should be observed in these individuals as a dual therapy or a multi-therapy that, hey, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, but we're also going to get your antioxidant levels elevated because that in and of itself can actually lower blood sugar levels?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, and there's two ways of doing that. One, you can actually introduce exogenous antioxidants that are purely antioxidants, and you always need, we have to do a whole show on antioxidants because it's very complex and people have a misunderstanding of the whole thing, especially due to some studies that showed the antioxidants were counterproductive for physical performance and body composition, and they're wrong, okay? But the pros and cons of antioxidant supplementation will be another show. But right now, yeah, I think the antioxidants should be checked. Dual action antioxidants. One is the actual nutritional supplements that will that are naturally antioxidant effects. The other ones are nutritional supplements that actually increase endogenous antioxidant production. So you have a dual therapy, which is missed by almost all the studies on antioxidants.
Well, what about, could exercise in and of itself have an intrinsic and extrinsic value? Because we know that extreme high-intensity exercise increases the master antioxidant, glutathione.
Definitely. Glutathione and a number of other endogenous antioxidants are increased. But you can overdo that. For example, if you really are exercising strenuously, you can deplete your endogenous antioxidants and cause tissue damage that is not reversible. So, you know, someone who's really working out hard, antioxidants are very important, and there are reasons for this, and we don't have time to discuss it. But, you know, I'm going to be giving you about a dozen things that we can discuss in future shows.
Well,
and they're all going to be interesting.
We have a question from a listener that really is probably going to be answered to a greater degree in the epigenetic discussion we're going to have shortly. Mm-hmm. But Mick mm-hmm. Moyer says, if we can change DNA hardwiring in shorter time terms, wouldn't that have caused some drastic changes over the ages? It has. Autism.
Oh, of course. But don't forget, DNA changes. If you're going to have epigenetic changes to DNA, methylation, histone, you know, all the things that affect it, including, you know, small RNAs, et cetera, and we'll discuss this with the epigenetics. But, yeah, of course, you're actually changing the effects of the hardwired DNA at that point.
I think what Mick is looking at is phenotypical. Like, why aren't we? Don't we have a third eye? Or maybe that's what he's talking about. But clearly, we are seeing changes in the species over very short periods of time right now.
And we're causing a lot of these changes. I'll give you an example. Because we don't have the time, but I'll give you an example. Salmon. Wild salmon and farm salmon.
Right.
Okay? A new study just came out, I think today, tell you the truth, that showed that they're genetically different over one generation.
Wow.
The DNA is different. All right?
Wow.
So here we have a one generation change in DNA, which obviously was initiated by epigenetic changes because of the differences between a wild salmon who's, you know, in the wild, eating in the wild, and these farm salmons which are packed together, with very little room to manipulate
and fed
pellets, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, fed artificial diets of salmon chow, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we'll cover this in much more detail when we do the epigenetic genetics aspect. That's been, you know, that's what I majored in the first 4 years of my university before I switched over to medicine, and it's always been something that I've kept up with.
Okay, so plug your website one more time, and then we will have another show with you very shortly anyway. So.
Okay, my website is a temporary website. I've got a new master one coming on, which is going to be mega, but it won't be ready for a few months. One right now is www.MauroMD.com, MauroMD.com, and anybody who wants to look at the supplements and stuff, they can get a 25% discount by using SHR25.
Excellent. So SHR25 is the coupon code, but don't forget to sign up for the newsletter as well, because you'll get all of this brilliance right in your inbox. Mauro, thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
All right, talk soon. All right, so there you have it. Want to thank Brooks Cubic for Physical Culture Radio. Don't forget to check out his website, BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com, and the folks over at Exact for their amazing nootropic / pre-workout product. And you can get a free 5-day trial sample by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Exact XACT banner ad, or going directly to their website, xactmind.com. Check it out. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio, and thank you for listening today.